From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL, The Doctor Is In, a bi-weekly podcast addressing common and some not-so-common technical issues in amateur radio. This podcast is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. And now, here's your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the Doctor himself, QST Contributing Editor Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
Hello and welcome to The Doctor Is In. I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY.
I'm Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
Joel, something that doesn't get talked about a lot are antennas for handheld transceivers, the kind you might attach to your belt or put in your pocket. I mean, the general assumption is the so-called rubber duck antennas, the helically wound antennas, are not much better than a dummy load. But is that true?
Well, they're certainly not optimum. And I guess that's one of the challenges with handheld transceivers. You're trying to make a radio station that will fit in your pocket. That is not conducive to making for efficient antennas. I mean, we don't think of that kind of antenna being on a rooftop or something, because it wouldn't work very well, and it doesn't work all that well in your hand. But you can hold it in your hand is the big thing, and it does work. I mean, it will work to a certain extent. If you think about it, the typical, I didn't measure any of mine, but the typical handheld rubber duck or helically wound flexible antenna that goes on the top of a handheld is about a third the length of a full-size quarter-wave whip, which, of course, is not by itself all that great an antenna either. So it's going to be less good than that. And the other thing about that is, we know about quarter wave antennas, they require a ground system to work efficiently. The ground system you have available is the radio, which is not big enough also, typically. I mean, they're not 19 inches long.
No.
And your hand holding onto it is part of it. I mean, that's a big part. So your hand and arm are kind of a lossy ground, extending the ground from the frame of the transceiver itself. So, you know, this is not going to be a remarkably efficient antenna, but it will radiate. And the nice thing about VHF situations, which most handhelds are, is that they will work reasonably well with even low efficiency if they have a line of sight path to the far end. So if you have a handheld transceiver and a clear shot to a mountaintop receiver, or if you have a clear shot to a mountaintop repeater, it will work just fine. If you don't, it may not work, but it doesn't take much when you have that line of sight clear path, and that's the secret to it.
Now, the helical rubber duck antennas, that is a helix embedded in rubber or plastic, is that correct?
I believe that's what you'll find if you open it up. I don't necessarily recommend doing that unless you have a lot of spare ones.
Yes.
You probably never get it back together.
What about the ones, though, that that are still helical, but they're longer? Do they really offer any advantage?
I think they do work better. Of course, now, if you're in that line of sight situation to the repeater or to another person with a similar antenna, you don't need to get any better than that. So, you know, it'll be stronger, but being stronger doesn't help you hear any better. Once you get above a certain threshold, getting better doesn't do much for you. But you definitely can, with a longer antenna or a better antenna, you can do a lot better with a handheld transceiver. In fact, what I've often used them as sort of a small base station. And just by having a portable antenna, such as one that I like and I've had for years, is a quarter wave magnetic mount antenna that's designed for going on a car fender. And I find if I plop that on a file cabinet in my office or on the refrigerator, top of the refrigerator in the kitchen, or anything else that'll stick to that's large compared to a quarter wavelength, it actually works remarkably well for an inside antenna. And of course, if you hook it up to an outside antenna, and some of these handheld transceivers can put out 5 watts. Well, that's a pretty strong signal on 2 meters for local FM coverage. So the transceiver itself can do a lot better with a better antenna. Now, how far you can go with that with something you can hold in your hand or put on your head, I guess you could have a head-mounted antenna.
You see those at the Dayton Hambench.
Yes. There's no reason they can't work.
What about, and I have seen these for sale occasionally, they're whip antennas for handhelds. You know, they have a SMA or a BNC connector. Would those provide a noticeable advantage over a helical?
I think they will, and some people have had good luck with them. Again, it's only noticeable if you're kind of marginal with the handheld. In other words, if it's kind of noisy reception and transmission with the flexible antenna, you may get to the point where it's much better and good solid reception with the longer antenna. You have to be careful, though, because one of the advantages of a flexible rubber duck so-called antenna is that if you poke yourself or somebody with it, you probably won't put out an eye or hurt them. You get into a more rigid antenna structure that's longer, like a telescoping one, you have to be a little more careful of where you point it. Another thing you can do is approach it from the other end, and this, for almost no money, works fairly well. That is, extend the ground. Put a separate counterpoise, a quarter-wave piece of wire hanging from the shield of the coax connector on top of the handheld will provide a much better radial than the combination of the radio and your arm.
Of course, this thing is hanging down from the bottom of the...
Just hanging down. Yeah. I mean, it'd be even better if it were sticking out perpendicular in a couple directions, but, you know, there's only so much you can do with something. You really don't want to poke your eye out with that either. But if you have a piece of wire hanging down, you may find that it does makes as much of a difference as having a larger antenna. Of course, you can do both, and that's even better. But antennas are the key to any kind of transmission, especially on VHF. You can almost certainly do something better than a flexible 6-inch long helical antenna without going to too much extremes. But you're still going to have an antenna that's where you are if it's on the top of the radio, and that limits your height above ground and your line of sight path. And if you don't have a line of sight path, you're probably not going to get through on most kinds of FM communication.
I remember back in the day, going back, way back, I owned a Drake TR-22, which was one of the first amateur radio FM, I wouldn't call it a handheld, but a portable transceiver. Yeah. And it had a telescopic whip that you pulled up. To this day, I remember how easily they were snapped right off. I mean, it was easy. You brushed up against somebody, brushed up against a tree branch or whatever, and snap, off it would go. And that's why, in my opinion, the helicals were so much better.
Yes, you won't do that with a helical antenna usually, although if you do it hard enough, you might be able to snap off the connector on top of the radio, which is not too good either.
Well, that's true, yes. In fact, I have heard from a number of people who recommend that if you're going to use a handheld transceiver in your car with an outside antenna, to use a short jumper cable between the handheld's antenna and the coax that goes up to, say, the quarter wave on 2 meters or whatever, just as a kind of strain relief. Have you ever seen that?
I can. I'm not sure if I have, but I certainly imagine the benefits of that. You know, some connectors are stronger than others. I think the SMA may be more likely to break than a BNC. I'm not certain if that's true, but it's smaller, so it seems likely that that would be the case. So, you know, it'd be handy to go from an SMA to a BNC in a flex cable and then have your coax going out to your thing that's hanging on the window or up on the roof, wherever it is.
Yes, I've used handhelds with beams, with Yagi antennas, with remarkable results.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's 5 watts on 2 meters with a good antenna can get you a long way, especially if the antenna's high. I mean, you could go almost as well if you sat on the roof with your handheld.
Yes, or up on a mountaintop. And there are a lot of hams that do exactly that.
Exactly right. And that's the key. The key is the height of the antenna, not just how long it is, but the height of the antenna, how far above ground it is.
That's right. Now, when you talk about the position of the antenna, what about those who have a handheld that they clip to their belt, and the helical antenna, of course, then is down there at their waist, but they're using a remote microphone or an extended microphone that is maybe up near their chest? What sort of an influence does having the antenna right next to your body have on the efficiency or the radiation?
Well, it's got to absorb some. So, you know, your body is going to soak some up. And that may or may not be good for your body. Probably not too big a deal. But any radiation that goes into your liver is not going to go towards the far end. There's just no question about it. And, of course, it's probably lower as well. So you lose probably 3 or 4 feet of height.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I should mention the speaker mic is another thing that if you're trying to use a handheld as a base station, that really makes all the difference in the world because then you can have the radio sitting in a stand.
Ah.
I've actually rigged it so instead of using that as a speaker, I keep the radio speaker going, which is usually a little bigger, or even use an external speaker and use the mic separately just by having an adapter cable between them. That works as well as a base station if you have a decent antenna, no question about it.
So you could have a full-fledged mobile system based around a handheld.
That's what I have in my car at the moment, as a matter of fact.
Now, do you have a extended speaker or speaker mic for that?
I do have a speaker mic. I can actually plug it in. My car radio has a jack in the console, which is where the radio lives, that can accept the audio. So I can actually have the stereo speakers in my car blasting out 2-meter FM if I want to. Do that to myself. And I have a mag mount antenna that can plop out on the rear fender, and off I go. It works very well.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a break, hear from DX Engineering, and we'll be right back.
Okay, I'll be here.
Remember your first contact? The excitement of that first CQ? The exhilaration of making your first QSO? At DX Engineering, we know that feeling too. That's why we've committed to making your on-air experience the very best it can be. DX Engineering ships quickly, which means less station downtime, and we have free shipping for almost any order over $99. We've recently expanded our inventory, so you don't have to wait for the gear you need. DX Engineering has introduced all new radio products and revived legendary brands, all with the goal of helping you enjoy amateur radio. Most importantly, the DX Engineering team is here to help you. You've got a team of highly experienced hams ready to work out technical issues, answer questions, and help you optimize your station performance. That excitement you felt from the first contact, it can happen again and again with help from DX Engineering. DXEngineering.com. That's DXEngineering.com.
And we're back. And we have a question, Joel, that actually came to me first rather than directly to the doctor. And this was from Stan, W8NNX. And he asked me, I got the heavy-duty Easy Hang at the Orlando Ham Fest this year. Now, I reviewed the Easy Hang. I should mention that in QST. Like you, I'm very happy with the tool. Since Hurricane Irma cleansed all the trees of leaves and dipoles, I'm planning to reinstall my 30-meter dipole this week. I even lowered it in anticipation. A huge branch got caught in it, he says. I have one problem that you may be able to shed light upon. Heavy-duty line to support the dipole is not cheap. My trees in Orlando grow around any line I string in the trees. See, I don't get into that here in New England. After a year, if I've forgotten to lower and raise the antenna to prevent it from becoming part of the tree, it is the end of more than 100 feet of expensive line. I faced that problem again this week. Do you have a solution? I've tried a pulley, but they haven't worked for me because the line falls out of the pulley. This sounds interesting.
Okay, and I guess it is interesting, and I guess I have to share that, even though I also live in Connecticut. Maybe I live 60 miles away, so maybe I have different kinds of trees than you do, and probably more of them. I have so many of them.
I've got a fir tree. That's what I've got.
Yeah. I've got some of them. I've got a lot of tulip trees and oak trees and I don't know what all trees, and some of them are pretty tall, and most of them have had halyards over them at one time or another. Some will always have a halyard on them because it doesn't move. So I've had this same problem. I can sympathize with Stan about this. And I don't know what the magic formula is on why some trees are better about this than others. And I have one end of my main HF antenna, wire antenna, that has been on this same tree for, I think, 30 years. I've lived in this house for more than, I guess, 33 years now. And this one halyard has been going strong for 30-some years. Yeah, and it still moves. And it's over the crotch of a tree. And I have another one that I used as my test antenna for some of my product reviews and stuff that went over a tree, and in 6 months it was stuck. And I could not break it loose. You know, I look at the trees and I can't see anything. I'm sure they're different species and so forth. I don't see a common factor that lets me know ahead of time which is going to happen. There are a number of solutions to this, possibly. One that was suggested by a friend that helped me put up actually the other end of this antenna that didn't last so long was, instead of putting it over a crotch where a tree branch comes to the trunk, put it over the whole canopy of the tree. This was Rich K1OF who was helping me install this antenna. And that seems to have worked very well. It's been up about 5 or 6 years, and it's still well above the places that would likely capture a halyard. So that's one thing to consider. I think the best answer is a pulley. I do believe that if you look carefully and find a pulley that's properly constructed, it will be such that if it has the right size line in it, the line can't jump off the block in the pulley. Now, I'm used to marine-type pulleys, or blocks as they're called on boats, and they tend to be more expensive, but I think you may find that given the price of the line that you're using, it's worth it to get a really good block and get one that's exactly sized for the line that you're using. And if so, that should stay in place. And the best way to install it, I think, is with a heavy screw eye into the tree. Have a tree guy come, a professional that knows what he's doing or she's doing, and install that where you have them install it where you want it and run the halyard through for you. The other thing I always do is I have a piece of light line on the antenna side of the halyard coming back down to ground level. I call this a downhaul. And what that does is if the antenna should break, which they usually do eventually, you don't lose the halyard. You don't have to get the tree person back.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
You just pull it down and start over. So I think among those, I guess another thing you can do, this is kind of an intermediate step. If you don't want to have a person with a cherry picker and you do have a halyard going over the tree that's going to stay there for 20 minutes before the tree eats it, use the first halyard to haul up the pulley with the second halyard in it.
Ah, okay.
And then if the first halyard gets stuck in the tree, it's not such a big deal because the one that's actually holding the antenna up is still movable through the pulley.
That's a good idea.
So that you can do that. The trick is, as you do it, as it's going up, you have to be very careful to keep both ends of that second halyard under control so they don't twist around the first one or each other. Otherwise, you get into a big mess and you can't sort it out. But once you get it up there, it should be okay. And I think that is another way to make it all work.
Excellent, Joel. And I should mention that by the time this podcast airs, we'll be well into the holiday season, and this will be our last podcast of 2017.
Wow.
Been a long haul. We've been doing this now for more than a year and a half.
Wow, it seems like only yesterday that we started.
Yes. Well, thank you to all of our listeners. We really appreciate it.
Well, I second that and very much look forward to many more years of doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joel.
My pleasure. Thank you.
ARRL, The Doctor Is In, is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at www.arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment for the doctor, send an email to doctor@arrl.org. Background music is courtesy of Ben Sound at www.bensound.com. This program is provided under the copyright of the ARRL. Until next time, I'm QST Managing Editor Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY 73, and thanks for listening.